It's great to see everyone this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Now, a big burly man visited a minister's home and asked to see his wife, a woman well known for her charitable pursuits. "Madam," he said in a broken voice, "I wish to draw your attention to the terrible plight of a poor family in this district. The father is dead, the mother is too ill to work, and the 9 children are starving. They are about to be turned into the cold, empty streets unless someone pays the rent, which amounts to $400. "How terrible," explained the preacher's wife. "May I ask who you are?" The sympathetic visitor applied his handkerchief to his eyes and said, "I'm the landlord," he said. Here he turned to the church for help. Each new day we can look for God for our help and our needs. Now Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. When he wrote, Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem. Their enemies mocked at their destruction. Jeremiah wrote his lament as he sat in the ashes of a destroyed Jerusalem. His mood is dark and he is angry. In complete misery and with little human hope, men and women of faith look to the Lord just like he did. So let's look at our text this morning, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now that's right at the end of looking and accounting for all the desolation he saw around him, the destruction of Jerusalem, and everything that, you know, that nation had built up and worked for and thought that they had. Now, that happened to him because they turned away from God too many times. But he looked that way. So, how does God help us in with physical blessings would be the first one. In Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 25, "And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." Now think about that. Someone can give you something, but they can't give you life. They can't make you alive once you've passed from this earth. Unless it's, you know, real quick. After you quit breathing. But God breathes life into everything. And that's something all the scientists have never been able to do, is to take inanimate material and make that into something that can, you know, crawl around on the ground and do things. You know, they can claim they make a few chemical compounds, and that may be fine, but that's just something they've cooked up in the lab with stuff that already exists. Also in James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And that's something we see in this life here, is people are changing God's word, changing what the church believes, changing this and changing that. You know, James tells us, he does not change like the shifting shadows. Now we see the shadows change as the day goes by. Sometimes they're long. Sometimes they get short. Then it gets long again. We see it shift as the day goes by. God is not like that. God is all sufficient. He needs nothing from man. He desires a relationship with us. But there's nothing that man can give to him that he doesn't already have, that he didn't possess in the first place. And he doesn't change down. But all physical things that we have come from God, according to the apostles. You know, a lot of people don't give thanks for that. But we should always be thankful for all the physical blessings that he gives us. And know that, you know, he's not shorting us in any kind of way. There's an endless list of God's physical blessings. God continues to show his mercy to us on an ongoing basis. Now, God showers his blessings, as the Bible says, upon the just and the unjust. The unjust will never be able to say, "Well, God never gave me anything." God gives it all to everyone. And we should keep that in mind as we live our daily lives, that our needs will be met in some sort of way. By, you know, something's going to happen to make that happen. He also gives us strength for the day. Now, it's not easy to go around in this world and see all the bad things that we see nowadays and know that it's gradually getting worse as time goes by. And, you know, keep our chin up in a world like today. Each new day brings new challenges to our faith. We battle the spiritual forces of Satan. We battle what the world out there believes in. Temptation can take its toll. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So our faith is what needs to be built up into a spiritual tank, so to speak, so that we can drive through this world and not be damaged by what we see out there. And there's only a few ways to build faith. And that is, of course, to experience God in our lives. As we go through our lives, we know that God has made the right decision in some places and we trust Him. We know that He's given us what we need over and over again through the good times and through the bad times. And that builds faith, but also studying God's Word, praying to God, acknowledging who God is. In other words, just as a lot of the in Psalms and other places where we see examples of prayer, even Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know that everything in this universe that we see and things we don't see and things that are totally unknown to us at this time were made by God from scratch, from nothing. So our problems, if we acknowledge how great God is, our problems seem a little pale. You know, it's like a lion going against a mouse, with God being the lion and the mouse being our problems. So if we acknowledge how strong God is, our problems will seem diminished. So we need to take up that shield of faith, because that's the only thing that's going to get us through. Now, God didn't leave His people without some sort of strength day by day. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, not be anxious about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Nor about your body. What will you put on? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are not more valuable than they are? And which of you is being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, each new day, not only we can renew our faith, but each new day brings its own set of troubles. Some we knew were coming, and some we don't know were coming. And I think more times than any, we don't know what's coming. But He tells us, don't be anxious, because if we seek Him, He'll make sure that we have these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So, if we'll lean on God, He'll hold us up. in the good times and in the bad times. Our faith will reward us that way. He also gives us each new day opportunities. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, you know, that's a place where it shows that, especially to the family of believers, but to all people. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And if they were evil then, they're evil today. And we need to make the most of it as far as helping those we know and helping those we don't know, and also building up ourselves in faith. We need to take the opportunity to study God's Word. We need to take the opportunity to meditate on that Word, to learn and to grow. Study those verses that intrigue us. Study those that we need to hear. Read something that will help you, boost you up for that day in the morning. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. How we treat people is just as important, you know, if we're going to ever be able to give the gospel to them. If we're their friend, then maybe those doors will open up where we can. So we need to be wise in that way. And he's not saying be crafty or anything, or be surreptitious where you're just trying to get something from these people, but be a true person of caring to them. Also in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authority, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. We're not here to shake up any governments. Our missionaries, whenever they go to other lands, they don't criticize those governments, and some of them pretty bad. But they know by obeying what the laws are there and not saying that, they can do the goal that they were sent there for, and that is to try to help others find the Lord. So all opportunities come in all sort of categories, and as Christians we need to have our eyes open so that when that opportunity presents itself, that we do, as they say, you know, we strike while the iron is hot. In other words, when something's ready, then we try to work with it and stuff. Each new day, God gives us protection. Now, Satan never takes a day off. His temptations are new every morning. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, that was a real problem back then. They didn't have guns. They didn't have guns at all, but nothing of a caliber that would take down a lion. You had to be good with a weapon in order to do that. So that meant a lot to them, a roaring lion. And if you've seen some of them in the zoo, you would not want to meet them without some wire in front of you and in between you and them, because these are fearsome beasts. Some of them weigh up close to 1,000 pounds, some big lions. So that's how Satan runs around. He wants to destroy everything. He is a destroyer. And he's destroyed a lot of lives. And he relishes in that. But we have to be careful to be on God's side. So, he never takes a day off. God is greater than all. Sees to it that Satan does not have too much of an advantage. He knows how to deliver us out of temptation. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. God knows what's going on. And there's some terrible things that happen in this world, even while he's watching. But in the end, all the accounts will be balanced. Those who come up short, won't make it. But everyone has that opportunity in their life to make a change in their lives and to come to God. In 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So, when temptation comes against us, don't focus on the temptation. Focus on the way out. If, you know, if a fire rises up in the building, you don't focus on the fire and stand there. You find a way out and you escape it. Divine protection is conditional. We must cooperate with God in resisting the devil. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. The more we resist the devil, and the more we win, the more he's going to stay away from us, because he's got better things to do than to work on something that's never going to happen. I mean, if you might be able to push a car if it's not running on the road, but you try pulling a freight train, it's just not going to happen, no matter how much energy you put into it. And you might as well give up. But eventually, the devil will flee from us if we'll allow him. If we'll resist him. Every day we receive from the Lord physical blessings. We receive opportunities, protection. And lastly, what we receive is providence. Now, providence means to see before. God sees before a need and arranges to meet that need. God saw ahead that Abraham would need a ram for his sacrifice, and ahead of time caused one to be caught in the thickets by his horn. In Genesis 22:13. The miraculous instant of God, of the Lord's providence, deeply impressed Abraham. Not everything that happens each new day is good, but the one who sees the end from the beginning so overrules in human affairs that for those whom he loves. So God is going to see us through this world. We're not going to come out unscathed. You know, you don't go through the thickets without getting some scratches on you. But he'll get us through the thickets of life. You know, he said all things work together for good. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. The end of the matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. So, we have to remember that when we go into trials and temptations and things like that, that in the end, our faith is going to be built up. That's why James and other apostles talked about counting good that we go through trials and tribulations, because it makes us who we are. It gives us faith. It also test us with God. In other words, we have a problem. We see God's answer. He gets us through it. That gives us confidence that the next time we have a problem, we'll put our faith and trust in Him. That's the building up of that. That's the benefit of it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You can plot and you can chart a course. You can plot a course or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, that's the way you're going to go. Now we most of us say, well, Lord willing, I'm going to do this tomorrow. We know where it comes from, but this is true in Proverbs that the Lord determines his steps. So where we go, where we really go, is going to be up to God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who has been called according to his purpose. Not that everything's going to be rosy in life, but that in the end, it's going to be good. God's providential care is around the clock. Psalm 121 and verse 4. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Every day we receive from the Lord physical blessings. We receive opportunities, we receive protection, providence, and even angelic help. We can't affirm the existence of angels by sight or feeling or experience. We haven't seen them. I know they depicted them with wings sometimes and stuff like that. We only know by faith in God's word that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service. Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, you know, what angels actually do is kind of an untaught thing. But the reality of their help for a Christian is a positive and encouraging doctrine in the Bible. So, you know, some people take it too far and worship angels and things like that, but angels are helping those who love the Lord. Every day we receive from our Lord, each and every day, we receive those physical blessings that He knows we need, opportunities to grow, protection from Him, providence, and an angelic health. So we also receive renewed forgiveness. Daily confession leads to daily remission. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, we can begin and end each day with a clean record. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. So God will forgive us each and every day if we'll walk with Him. Every day we receive all these different things from God. And every day we can wake up knowing in the morning that God has this whole world out there that He gives us for us to grow in Him, for us to help others where the opportunity comes, to have forgiveness in our lives, to have His protection, and all those things. So, C.S. Lewis wrote, "He who has God and many other things has no more than he who has God alone. Most of us have many other things. We have money and security and friends and family. But if you also have God in your life, then the many other things don't matter one way or the other. If you have God, and if you know Jesus Christ, you have enough because God is faithful." If we're faithful to Him, God is faithful to us. And these promises, they're not falsehoods or lies or anything like that from God. They're the absolute truth. And we should know that God is going to take care of us each and every day of our lives till we go and meet Him someday. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?